Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. ART Seattle recorded 18 episodes of A Lost, I Love a Mystery, Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge. Here's episode 11, Bear Trap.
American Radio Theater presents I Love a Mystery. Carlton E. Morse adventure thriller, Terror of Frozen Corpse Lodge. O'clock on a dreary sub-zero morning with the snow drifts up to the second-story windows of the J. Irving Stark Hunting Lodge, high and isolated in the Sierras, somewhere on the California-Nevada border. A still cold, with a blood-congealing chill in its icy breath and the promise of death in its sting. But there was another and even more inhuman death stalking Frozen Corpse Lodge, death by murder. Two men, Philip Ogden and the butler Mansfield, have been stabbed in the back, and the frozen body of a third unidentified man, strangled a week or two before, has been found. They might have identified the man by a locket on a chain around his neck, but A.J. Ben created a distraction by breaking a window and firing a gun. In the confusion, the locket disappeared, and a search of every person in the room revealed nothing. Why Jack did not immediately lock up Ben, Doc couldn't understand. In the midst of his protest, it was noticed that Bruce Garrett, eccentric millionaire engaged to Gail Stark, was missing. A new search of the lodge failed to reveal him, so Jack, with Doc and Mr. Ben, took the runway to the stable. It was a narrow, trench-like path, turning and twisting through 4 to 6 feet of new snow. Some 30 yards from the stable, the trio rounded a turn to find Garrett unconscious in the path, with his foot caught in the teeth of a savage-looking bear trap. In the fall, his head had struck on a jagged piece of ice. As Jack bent to attend him, two rifle shots echoed in the chilled air, and Doc caught sight of the gunman peering out at them from the haymow.
Look out! Sure.
Doggone, that guy don't care who he murders.
If we keep down, the snowbanks hide us from him.
Doggone sniper. How about cracking out with one of them shooting pistols, Mr. Ben, and giving our friend some interest for his money?
You know, he's got too much of an edge on us. He could put a bullet through my hat before I could get my eyes above the snow, let alone find him.
Oh, scared, huh? Well, then give me one of them guns and let me try.
Don't be a fool, Doc!
Huh?
Ben's right. Just keep down and out of the way. Besides, if we don't get Bruce Garrett to the house and in bed, he's going to fold up with pneumonia.
If he doesn't die with that crack on the skull...
He won't die from that. Doc, you keep a watch out for the sniper while Ben and I see if we can't get Garrett's leg out of the bear trap.
Okay.
You sure you never saw that gunman in the barn before?
Never in my life.
Wasn't the caretaker P.O. then?
No, wasn't Jones, new butler. Nor Mr. Stark, neither.
Here, Ben, give me a hand.
Yeah.
The trap's fastened by a chain to a scrub oak sticking up through the snow. Ease him down a little to take the strain off the chain.
How's that?
Good, good.
Doggone, looky at them rusty string teeth bitten his ankle. Oh, if he don't die of a bump on the head or pneumonia, looks like blood poison might get him. Hey!
Doc, will you keep your eyes toward the barn? We'll take care of Garrett.
Yeah, okay.
Look, there are springs on each side of the teeth.
What springs? Garrett's lucky his ankle isn't broken.
Look, if I bend his knee up, then the trap will set flat on the ground.
That's the idea.
If you and Doc will each step on a spring, I think I can force the teeth open and pull his foot out.
Okay, come on, Doc.
Yeah, I can do that and keep an eye open. Hey, talk about your steel springs.
Both together this time, and you're full weight.
Yeah.
Coming?
Yes, don't either one slip off his spring or these teeth will snap shut and take off my hand.
We're holding her, son.
Just a minute more. Teeth sunk into the flesh. There, that does it.
Can we get off?
Yes.
Okay, Doc.
Man, that's a nasty pair of jaws that thing's got.
Have to hold a full-grown bear.
Who wants to hold a bear anyhow?
We've got something nastier than a bear by the tail, if you want my opinion.
What do you mean, we? Where did you get into the detecting end of this business?
Still the villain, huh?
For my money, you are one of the number one suspects, and you're going to stay that way until you do a lot of explaining, and I mean a lot, sport.
Never mind that. Doc, you run ahead and get Jones and the girls heating blankets and hot water.
How about carrying them in?
Ben and I'll take care of that. See if they got hot water bottles or electric pad.
Okay.
And get out the first aid kit. Hurry!
You betcha. Hey, cut it out, will you?
Doc, you crazy fool! Keep your head down!
Woo! There. Hey, Jones. Jones. Leo. Hey, where the heck are people anyway?
Aloha. Here I am, senor.
Hey, Pio. Come up here quick. Where's Jones?
For my goodness sakes, what is matter now?
Bruce Garrett's have been hurt.
Senor Garrett hurt?
Yeah, hurt. Will you quit standing there? Oh, there you are, Jones.
Yes, sir. What is it, sir?
Quick. Y'all get some hot water boiling.
Emergency?
Doggone right, it's an emergency. Now get going. P.O., get upstairs and light a fire in Garrett's room.
See, but what happened?
Never mind what happened. Get going before I kick your pants clean up behind your ears.
Si, right now, inmediatamente, senor.
Beg pardon, is the water to be used for sterilizing?
Yeah, anyway, part of it. And where's Jerry Booker and Gail Stark at?
Oh, you'll find them in the trophy room with Mr. Stark, I imagine.
Okay, get it going.
Yes, sir.
Hey, just a minute. Ain't you or P.O. heard any rifle shots outside?
Rifle shots, sir?
Mean to say you've been within 50 yards and you didn't hear all that a-shooting?
Not a sound, sir.
Doggone funny. Well, keep moving. I gotta see the girls. Hey, Jerry!
Hello, Doc. We're in the trophy room.
Hey, look, you folks. Bruce Garrett's been hurt.
Hey!
What's that?
Bruce? You mean he's dead?
Of course I don't mean he's dead, but he's unconscious and he's been laying out in the snow.
Oh, where is he?
Jack and Mr. Benz are bringing him in. No, wait a minute.
But if there's something I can do...
There is. You got any hot water bottles, electric pads, stuff like that?
I suppose so.
Yes, of course we have. P.O. will know where they are.
Well, get them out and start heating Garrett's bed.
Yes, I'll attend. Oh, golly, my knees are trembling.
Yeah, and you can't run up and downstairs. She ought to be in bed herself, Doc.
No, I'll be all right.
Baloney. I'll hunt up P.O. and get the bed warm.
Will you, sugar? He's upstairs building a fire in Garrett's room right now.
Okay, just leave it to little old Jerry.
But can't we help them bring Bruce in?
They're doing all right. Y'all just stay right here for now.
I don't understand.
Never mind, just stay here.
But what happened to Bruce? Was he stabbed?
Oh, you mean like Ogden and Mansfield? Nah, he's caught in a bear trap.
What's that?
Bear trap?
Yeah, some blue-nosed hippopotamus set a bear trap in the runway P.O. dug from the kitchen door to the barn, and Bruce stepped right in it and went headfirst in a hunk of ice that laid him out like a carpet.
But what was Bruce doing going to the stable?
I don't know. Yeah, but he must have been going on the run on account of the way he is pitched forward and stretched out.
Well, what is it? What is it?
I wish I knew.
Maybe you do.
What do you mean by that?
You wouldn't try to make me believe there's folks hiding out in your barn all this time and you know nothing about it.
People hiding out in my barn?
That's what I said, with rifles and maybe a whole arsenal for all I know. Anyway, they don't care who they shoot at.
Doc, what are you talking about?
All the time we was a-getting Garrett out of the trap, somebody was sniping at us from the hayloft with a rifle.
Oh, J. Irving, what's the matter? Oh, you're so pale.
Someone was shooting at you from the barn?
Do I have to say everything twice? What is the matter with you, fella?
Nothing. Nothing.
Kind of green around the gills. And ain't it kind of strange you folks here in the lodge didn't hear all this shooting?
No, we wouldn't.
What do you mean, you wouldn't?
The snow banked up to the second floor makes the house soundproof. I've noticed it before.
Oh, that's it.
Hey, Doc, for the love of Mike!
Hey, they got him in.
They must have him upstairs. I'm going.
Is that where Jack called from?
Yes.
Hey, Jay Irvin, ain't you coming? Oh, here you are. Stick with us.
Yes, I certainly intend to.
Hey, Doc, where you been?
Putting the screws on Jay Irvin here.
This is a fine time for that.
Hey, Gail, I thought your knees were wobbling.
Well, they were, but that's silly. I'm not going to let them anymore. How's Bruce?
Still unconscious.
May I?
No, you can't go in just now. Ben and Pio are getting him undressed and into bed.
It's serious, Packard?
You can be quite certain it's serious, Mr. Stark. And who have you got out in the barn that's so anxious to dispose of anyone who comes near?
Packard, I swear on my honor, I know of no such person.
Complete stranger, huh?
I swear it. Look, could it be the fellow they're looking for on the outside?
I hadn't thought of that.
Who?
We heard it over the radio when we first got here. News announcer said the biggest manhunt in the history of this county was on. And that's about all we got on account of the static. And the next thing we knowed, all the radios was busted and the phone line cut.
Then you think some desperate criminal is inhabiting the barn?
Well, don't forget he's got an open runway to the kitchen door of the lodge.
Yeah, and it looks like he's been using it, considering what happened to old Mansfield.
You believe that, Jack?
Not until it's been proved.
Why? You're willing enough to believe things against the rest of us?
A strange and hunted criminal from the outside doesn't fit into this picture.
No, it doesn't, does it?
I fail to see why not.
Because what's happened up to this point at Frozen Corpse Lodge and the three friends of Gale who were murdered during the last month all fit into a pattern or plan that someone's been working on for a long time.
Look, you mean to stand here and tell me that somebody's been shooting at you boys and you're just standing here talking about it?
Yeah, how about it, Jack?
As soon as they've got Garrett's clothes off so I can look at that leg where the trap...
Oh, Pio.
Senor Ben, say you come at once, Senor Packard.
All right. Here, where are you going?
But of course, I am going downstairs to help Dad Jones bring up some hot water.
Oh, well, come right back up.
Of course I come right back up. What you think? For my goodness sakes, anyway.
I'm going in with you.
If you wish. Although... if Garrett is still out.
Can you come in, Packard? Garrett's returned to consciousness.
Oh, I'm glad that he's not going to die.
Miss Stark, if you'll wait outside.
I'll do nothing of the kind. Who are you to order me about? A stranger in this house?
Very well, Miss Stark.
Well, I should think so.
However, you will keep back and not try to talk to him until you've been given permission.
Yes, if you wish.
How about me and Jerry and Mr. Stark, Jack?
Okay. Come in and shut the door.
Yeah.
He's got his eyes shut.
You conscious, Garrett?
Yes.
Oh, Bruce.
Miss Stark.
Back up, please.
Yes.
I want to look at your ankle first, Garrett. Gail, go over and stand with your father.
Yes.
There, girl.
Now then, don't try to move your leg. I'll do all the moving necessary.
Doggone, that ankle looks like it was chewed on by a tiger.
You're pretty bad, all right.
Keep it up. You're making me feel wonderful.
Stark?
Yes?
Go see what's the matter with the hot water. Tell Pio and Jones to get up here and step on it.
Yes, certainly.
You got your medical kit, Jerry?
Yeah, open and ready for action.
Hand me that hypodermic and that little blue bottle.
Little blue bottle coming right up.
Here, what's that hypodermic for?
Just a little something to cut down the possibility of blood poison and lockjaw.
Oh, what a cheerful bunch of... What do you think you're doing anyway?
There now, it's all over. Nothing more is going to happen except that Doc and Jerry are going to wash that ankle in warm water and antiseptic and bandage it up.
I'm going to do it.
You and Jerry. You can do it, can't you, Jerry?
Why not?
What are you going to be doing?
AJ, Ben here, and I are going to storm the barn.
What's that?
Storm the barn? Why you and Ben? Why not you and me?
Because I want you here in the lodge. And another thing, we haven't been carrying guns up to now, but this is where we start.
Toad our shooting guns?
Yeah, I got them out of our bags. Here's yours.
Thanks. Mind saying what I want it for?
For quick action? You and I are going to be awfully unpopular around here from now on.
Yeah? With who?
I don't know. But while Ben and I are out hunting barn snipers, if somebody makes a funny move, shoot. And ask afterwards.
This ain't a friendly place no longer, huh?
Not only unfriendly, it's unhealthy. And Jerry, you and Gail stick to Doc.
Like he owed us money.
You understand, Miss Stark?
No, I don't understand. But I will.
Good.
What I don't understand is what's changed. What's happened all of a sudden?
You'll find out.
Right in here with the hot water, boys.
See?
We brought up 4 pails of boiling water and have 4 more on the range. Right here by the bed, Jones.
Yes, sir. Mr. Packard, one time I was an orderly in the hospital, so if you need any help...
Good. Give Doc and Miss Booker a hand.
Doc and Miss Booker?
Yes. Ben here and I are on our way out to the barn.
But look here. See here, Packard.
Well?
Packard, I can't... I mean...
What's the matter, J. Irvin? Something stuck in your throat?
Yes, Dad, what is it?
Garrett knows. Garrett knows everything.
Oh, that's right. Our host here, J. Irvin Stark, is sheltering 100 criminal out in the stable.
No, that's not true.
Look out, senor!
Hey, Mr. Stark fainted. What happened?
Pio, you spilled boiling water on him.
No, senorita, no. Senor Stark is excited, and he back into me. I tell him, look out.
Pouring boiling water on a guy.
Senor, I did not. That is not true.
Whether Pio did it on purpose or not can be decided later. Doc, you got another patient. Come on, Ben.
Yes.
You're heading for the barn. Why can't you wait a little while?
Wait for what? Another murder?
This has been a presentation of a lost old-time radio show by American Radio Theater. I Love a Mystery was written by Carlton E. Morris. This was Book 25, Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge. Directed by Marge Lutton, assisted by Greg Porter, and produced by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Cole Hornaday as Jack Packard, Renaud LaBeouf as Doc Long, with Joy Jackson as Jerry Booker, Melinda Maines as Gail Stark, Michael Mokey O'Reilly as Pio, Greg Porter as A.J. Ben and the narrator, Dan Schindler as J. Irving Stark, Kim Turner as Mansfield, and Richard Haviland as Tuffy. Thanks also to Harry Thiel and Mike Wheeler. Live sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. Music by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge was originally broadcast May 22 to June 14, 1951. I'm Pat McNally, whom you also heard as Bruce Garrett and Jones the Butler. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Here's a word from our sponsor.
Well, what did you think of that, Mrs. Anybody?
It certainly was interesting, but what was it?
That was an audio drama, as practiced by members of ART, the American Radio Theater. Tell me, Mrs. A, do you feel refreshed?
Why, yes. I feel kind of tingly clean all over.
That's because ART has special super-sudsing agents that actually wash your brain. Brighten your outlook and stimulate your imagination while you listen.
Gee, that's great.
It sure is, Mrs. Anybody. So run down to your local audio agent and ask for, no, demand ART in the convenient quarter hour, half hour, and giant economy size hour episodes. Can't wait that long? Jump to ART on the internet at www.americanradiotheater.org. You'll be glad you did.
Here's episode 12, Off to the Barn.
American Radio Theater presents I Love a Mystery. New Carlton E. Morse adventure thriller, Terror of Frozen Corpse Lodge. Nine o'clock on a dreary sub-zero morning with the snow drifts up to the second story windows of the J. Irving Stark Hunting Lodge, high and isolated, high in the Sierras, somewhere on the California-Nevada border.
Three men are dead here in the tool house of the lodge, and three other men of Gale Stark's intimate acquaintance are dead down in Hollywood. They are victims of a murder pattern, a web of death, of which young and beautiful Gale seems to be the center. Somehow involved is her stepfather, J. Irving Stark, and her wealthy, neurotic fiancé, Bruce Garrett. These three, with Jack, Doc, and Jerry Booker, were to have spent the weekend at Frozen Corpse Lodge with Mansfield, the ancient butler, and P.O. the caretaker to serve them. But Jones put in his appearance saying he was the new butler, although no one seems to have called him. It was just as well he did come, however, for that night Mansfield was murdered. Then the same night it began to snow, A.J. Ben came, asking for lodging for the night. Who he is and what he wants, no one can guess, but he's a gunman and definitely at the lodge for a purpose. And now there's someone out in the barn. Someone who set a bear trap in the runway between the lodge and stable. Set a bear trap which caught Bruce Garrett by the ankle, and who sniped at Jack, Doc, and Ben from the hayloft when they rescued him. In an argument between Garrett and Stark, J. Irving backed into a pail of boiling water, scalding his legs from hips to ankle. Now Jack has just left Doc with the two girls to keep an eye on things in the lodge while he and Ben go to the stables to rout out the mysterious sniper.
This place is beginning to look like a hospital. First Garrett and now Mr. Stark.
Not to mention the bodies locked up in the tool shed.
Yeah, that's the morgue department. You don't look so bad as you did, Gail.
Thanks. I'm all right. Is my father asleep?
Yeah, Mr. Stark's asleep in the room on one side of us, and Garrett's asleep on the room to the other side. I give them each three sleeping pills out of Jack's kit just to make sure.
Some doctor.
It's both in a lot of pain. I don't believe in letting folks suffer. That's the kind of medicine man I am.
How badly was J. Irving scalded?
Backs of his legs, almost down from his hips to his heels.
Oh.
Yeah, has to lay on his face. No wonder he passed out.
I could have sworn P.O. did it on purpose, but... But that's silly.
Yeah, what the heck did he want to do that for? Your step-papa got excited arguing with Bruce Garrett and backed into P.O. holding the pails.
Yeah. Say, what was that argument all about? Did you get it, Gail?
No.
First, J. Irving didn't seem to want Jack to go out to the barn. Then all of a sudden he said Garrett knows everything like he was making a confession or something.
No, I don't believe it.
Don't believe what?
That J. Irving is involved in this, all this.
Well, Bruce come right out accusing him of harboring a criminal.
Bruce Garrett's a liar. A congenital liar.
Thing I can't figure out is, why the heck didn't Jack follow it up? Didn't ask a single question.
Well, that's when J. Irving got scalded.
Yeah, but after everything settled down, Jack never asked a single word about this criminal Garrett mentioned. He and Ben just hightailed it out of here for the barn.
They've been gone 20 minutes now.
Uh-huh. Durned if I like it.
I wonder why he took Mr. Ben instead of you.
I can't figure it. Well, anyway, there ain't been no gun shooting.
Oh, you couldn't hear it in here.
Sure we can. Up here on the second floor above the snowdrift.
Oh. Doc, shouldn't we leave the door to Father and Bruce's room open?
Huh?
In case they call out or want something.
Shuckins, gal. They ain't gonna want nothing for hours. With that amount of sleeping pills. Hey, either you folks seen P.O. or Jones last 10-15 minutes?
Not me.
No, why? Why do you ask?
That just got me a feeling all of a sudden. I think I'd better have me look around.
Doc, what do you mean?
Take it easy, Gale. Detectives get that way.
What way?
Well, so they can smell trouble a mile off, according to Doc.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you doing with that gun?
You girls stay right here tight. You're gonna have me look around the halls.
Yes, of course, only I don't...
Hey.
Doc, what is it?
Somebody's locked us in. That's what's for it.
Hey, what's that for?
Well, it doesn't matter, really. We can go out through either door leading to J. Irving's room or the one over there through Bruce Garrett's room.
We'll see about that.
It's such a stupid thing to do. There must be a mistake.
Mistake my eye. This door's locked, too. Jerry, try the one to Mr. Stark's room.
Yeah, sure. Well, sorry, folks, but they got us surrounded.
But who? Why?
There you are. I knowed it was a mistake for me and Jack to split up.
What do you mean?
They got me alone here in the lodge, and they got him alone out yonder in the barn. What do you think I mean?
By keeping low down and crowding the inside of the snowbank, we're gonna make it, I think.
No sign of our sniper so far.
We're almost there.
It's past 20, 30 feet, so it bothers me. From that turn just ahead to the barn door, we're right out in the open.
If he's up in the hay mow where Doc first spotted him, he'd have to be looking right straight down to see us.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's no first floor windows that look directly on the runway. So if we keep our heads down and run for the door, I don't see how we can miss.
Well, here's our chance to put it to the test.
Yeah, this is it.
You still want to lead?
Yes!
And that's a long 30 feet. One more chance of a jackrabbit if somebody's got a gun on that open space.
Stay here and wait for me if you don't like it.
Don't get so high and mighty, Packard. Get going. I'll be right on your tail.
All right. And keep your head down. Let's go! Made it okay.
Get that door open. Let's get under cover.
What do you mean, get under cover? Don't forget the guy who's been sniping at us will be in there with us.
Never mind that. I'll shoot it out with anybody on an equal footing. Is the door unlocked?
Yeah. Try not to make any noise opening the latch. I hope the hinges don't squeak.
But they do.
Yeah. Can't help it. Okay. Okay, that's enough. That's enough to get inside. Come on.
Yeah.
Now, pull it shut. Take it easy.
Anybody listening, they've already heard us. Gloomy. I can see your hands in front of you.
That's because the snow's piled up over the windows. Listen.
Did you hear something?
Something. Say, isn't it kind of funny we don't hear the horses?
This is a pretty big stable. They must be around in some other part.
We seem to be in the alleyway in front of the mangers between the box stalls and the haymow.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I'm a city man myself.
So you said before. But you don't act like it.
Well, you were so anxious to get out here. What do we do now we're here?
I thought you might have some ideas.
Why did you think that?
Okay. Keep up the disguise if you like it that way. Let's see if we can find where our snipers got to.
Up in the haymow?
Might as well look there first, I guess. Let's see if we can find a ladder.
Kind of funny, isn't it? He was so aggressive a half hour ago, and now he seems to have disappeared entirely.
Plenty of places for a man to hide in a barn as extensive as this. Must be room for 20 or 30 head of stock in here.
Listen.
The horses. They're around on the other side, as you said. And there's the ladder up into the mow. Let's have a look.
What kind of a setup's this?
The ladder goes right up through the hay chute. Follow right behind me. Here we go.
Well, we'd be in a heck of a spot if that sniper's still up in the mow.
Uh-huh. And we're taking a chance he's not.
All you'd have to do is stick his rifle down the mouth of the chute. Get us both with one shot.
That's a pleasant thought. Take it easy. We're almost up.
Yeah?
All right, now. Over into the haymow. There. Come on, Ben.
Yeah. No sign of anyone, huh?
No. But look at the size of the mow up here.
Yeah. Pretty gloomy. A man could hide up here. What's that?
What?
Listen.
I don't hear anything.
I thought sure I heard someone moving about close.
Must have been your imagination.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's have a look over at the opening at the front of the mow where our sniper was standing when he took those pot shots at us.
Okay. Not much chance of us being quiet up here in this stuff.
No. We'll have to just take our chances. We can keep down low. We'll have some protection. Especially... Wait!
What is it?
Big colored handkerchief.
Yeah?
The kind field hands wear around their necks when they're working in the hay. Keeps the chaff out of their collars.
Anybody could have lost it. Probably belongs to P.O.
Yeah, except look at this stain. Someone wiped his gun with this not very long ago.
You know that, or are you guessing?
Smell.
Burned powder.
Uh-huh. Now let's have a look outdoors. Keep down, so you won't be outlined against the light.
Yeah. Hey, here's where the sniper stood. A deep impression in the hay. He must have been keeping a lookout up here for hours.
Good place for it. Look, you can watch the lodge and get a pretty good view of the runway between the lodge and the barn here.
Uh-huh. In most places, though, you couldn't see a person in the path if you ducked down a little.
Yes, but you do get a full view of the kitchen door. You could see anyone leaving the lodge. Look, did you see that?
Somebody just came out the kitchen door.
Yes, somebody in a white dress. Running.
Running?
You can see her head bobbing up and down over the edge of the runway.
Which one of the girls is it?
I can't tell. She's still too far away.
Well, there must be trouble. Let's go down.
They shot her. Somebody from the lodge shot her.
In heaven's name, Packard.
Did you see it? Did you see the spurt of flame from the second-story window of the lodge?
Yes. Yes, I saw it. The spurt of flame, and the girl threw up her hands and fell forward.
The girl. It had to be Jerry Booker or Gail Stark.
Shot down before our very eyes. Packard, let's go get that guy.
This has been a presentation of a lost old-time radio show by American Radio Theater. I Love a Mystery was written by Carlton E. Morris. This was Book 25, Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge. Directed by Marge Lutton, assisted by Greg Porter, and produced by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Cole Hornaday as Jack Packard, Renaud LaBeouf as Doc Long, with Joy Jackson as Jerry Booker, Melinda Maines as Gail Stark, Michael Mokey O'Reilly as Pio, Greg Porter as A.J. Ben and the narrator, Dan Schindler as J. Irving Stark, Kim Turner as Mansfield, and Richard Haviland as Tuffy. Thanks also to Harry Thiel and Mike Wheeler. Live sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. Music by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge was originally broadcast May 22 to June 14, 1951. I'm Pat McNally, whom you also heard as Bruce Garrett and Jones the Butler. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
Presenting the music of Benny Goodman, his clarinet, and his orchestra, coming to you from the Manhattan Room in the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City. And here we go with Pick Yourself Up. Thank you.
now music by Benny Goodman and his orchestra. This program, devoted to popular dance numbers, is coming to you direct from the Manhattan Room in the Hotel Pennsylvania, 33rd Street and 7th Avenue, New York City, where Benny Goodman and his orchestra are now appearing. Tonight's vocalist will be Martha Tilden. Our program opens tonight with a swing arrangement of Minnie the Moocher's Wedding Day. Success, Afraid to Dream.
another one caressing you. Although you promised me that this could never be, it's the thought of losing you that makes me so afraid to dream.
Benny Goodman and his orchestra entertaining you, and here is a nice title for a nice dancing tune, Moonlight on the Highway. For a follow-up tune, Once in a While, Once in a While.
now for a typical lesson in swingology, Sugarfoot Stomp. Sugarfoot Stomp. To a program of dance music being played by Benny Goodman and his orchestra in the Manhattan Room of the Hotel Pennsylvania, 33rd Street and 7th Avenue, New York City. Goodman and his orchestra from the Manhattan Room in Hotel Pennsylvania, New York City, offer a new arrangement of an old favorite called Dixieland Band.
Dixieland Band. When the folks would holler for the Maple Leaf Rag, they would get to swinging, but the trumpet would drag. They had to keep him cause he played so sweet, but they needed someone who could give him the beat. Someone who swung with the rhythm, rhythm of the Dixieland Band. He played so sweetly. They got him and they went to the Lord. And that is the pitiful story, story of the Dixieland Band. Oh, now they're up in heaven and they're happy at last, cause they found a trumpet man who really can blast. The way he swings them is an awful shame. He can really do it. Gabriel is his name. And now, folks, here is a sample, sample of the Dixieland Band.
That's all the time I've got for today. Please visit our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. Hey, see you next time.